T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back here on Eye on Houston. I'm Dr. Laura Murillo, President and CEO of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We've got our next guest on the line, and you know him. He's a state senator, former state senator, and former mayor of Austin, joining us today from the University of Houston as the dean of the U of H Hobby School of Public Affairs, Senator Kirk Watson. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to continuing our partnership with the University of Houston Hobby School of Public Affairs, and now under your leadership, certainly much to do, and given the circumstances, we're happy that we are already partnering with you all on the survey that's going to our membership, and again, all the great work that you and your team have done. We look forward to your vision, to seeing what role the school will play. So again, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm so pleased that we're already having the opportunity to work together on that survey. I think it'll be very meaningful for your organization, and it's meaningful for our school in trying to be helpful with regard to how we approach public policy.
Well, and joining us on this line, we are on 6 intercom stations with an audience reach of about 3 million. And so they are eager to hear about what the school's role in public policy will be in Houston. And also talk to us a little bit about what you recently published, a playbook for resiliency, creating an opportunity for all Texans. Let's talk about those two topics.
Sure. Well, I'll start by saying that, you know, I was in the Texas Senate for almost 14 years, and as you pointed out, was mayor of Austin before that, and so Austin's been my home my entire adult life, and I loved being in the Senate. Came out of the last session of the legislature happier than maybe I'd ever been because we'd had such a successful session. And so the only reason I would ever leave the Senate would be for a very, very compelling platform of public service. And when offered the opportunity to work as the founding dean of the Hobby School in what is soon going to be the third largest city in America, arguably the most diverse city in our country and the center of so much activity, I thought, well, that's a pretty compelling platform. And so the idea that I'm getting to help essentially build a public policy school from the ground up, where not only will we be teaching the next generation of leaders how to be involved in public policy, but I want us to be involved in helping shape and create, be a credible source of information and data for every level of public policy and provide the research that folks need. So this is a tremendous opportunity. We can be a world-class public policy school located in one of the country's largest, most diverse cities and be Houston's public policy center and a place that great ideas can come from. You mentioned the playbook that we put out. That I actually was able to get that out the first week I was in the job as the dean of the Hobby School, working with Professor Stephen Pettigo from the LBJ School of Public Affairs. We put out we call it a playbook for resiliency, and it's focusing on how do we make sure that when Texas comes out of this COVID pandemic, that we've learned from what we've seen, and we make sure that we provide a playbook for how we come out of that where we do a better job. And I'll just real briefly give a couple of examples. You know, we have not done, we had kind of a luxury, or at least since we had a luxury that in Texas that we were so affluent we could ignore certain things. Things like how do we make sure that people who we rely on, in fact, we're calling them essential workers, how do we make sure that they have a way, they're being paid wages that they can support a family? Things like paid sick leave, which we've had these fights over about whether or not we ought to allow for paid sick leave, but almost immediately we recognize that you need to have that. Things like employer-based health insurance. Well, employer-based health insurance doesn't work too well when employers are having to let people go. And of course, we've seen how that has happened and how that has given rise to even more people not having health care and health insurance. So we've got nine substantive things that we've put out because what I'm scared of is that now that this bright light has been shown on some of the failures of our system, that what we'll do is when we come out of it, out of the timeout that we're currently in, and we start getting back in the game, we will run the same plays and we will try to rebuild a past that we now know has problems. So that and that's coming out of the hobby school and the LBJ school.
Well, thank you for that. And as we move forward, we know that the upcoming legislative session is upon us. What are your concerns as we move toward that?
Well, I have a couple of big concerns. One, of course, is budget. This goes back to what I was saying just a minute ago. I think that what the pandemic has shown us is that in our state budget, we don't have enough revenue sources. When you have something like this happen where sales tax, which is the largest revenue source in our state budget, is so dramatically impacted, and of course you also have the rainy day fund, which is funded primarily through the severance tax on oil and gas, and while that's not pandemic related, we've had that double whammy. What it tells you is we need to be looking at other revenue sources. We need to not just act like we're limited, but we need to pull back onto the middle of the table some of the dormant conversations we've had about how we can provide revenue so that we take care of the basic needs of our state. We did a good job last session on school finance. And when I came out of that session, and I was proud, I got to be on the, I was on the conference committee on HB3, the bill that passed that, the bill that did our school finance changes. But what I said was my fear is that we won't have the discipline to keep doing the funding we need. Well, now that we've had this happen, it's more than just not having discipline. It is that we have problems with our revenue sources. So I hope that, and my biggest fear is that we won't take a moment to say, all right, all bets are off. It is now time to reevaluate because we don't have the resources we need to do right by the people of this state.
Well, and many needs and the limited budget, as you mentioned, but certainly makes the work of the University of Houston and the Hobby School of Public Affairs even more important, even more relevant. So we once again want to thank you for the opportunity to continue our longstanding relationship with your team as we are working currently on a survey that will provide some insight regarding the impact of COVID-19. I look forward to sitting with you and your team and continuing the dialogue. Again, joining us on the line today is former state senator and former Austin mayor, the founding dean of the University of Houston Hobby School of Public Affairs, Kirk Watson. Our thanks.
Thank you, and thanks for all the good work you do.
Well, we appreciate it. And up next, we have the Texas Workforce Commission Executive Director, Edward Cerna. So stay with us here on Eye on Houston. We will be right back.